I have never thought positively by nature. Growing up in the 1970s, I used to suffer bouts of stomach cramps on Sunday nights in anticipation of school the next day. Hostile teachers, threatening classmates, botched assignments. My mind saw phantoms everywhere. In hope of guidance, I sometimes gazed up at an inspirational poem on a black light poster hanging in my big sister's bedroom. The words, etched in velour, glowed three-dimensionally under the luminescence of a colored bulb and sometimes with the aid of pot smoke. I memorized each one. Forget yesterday. I am where I am. I know where I could have been had I done what I did not do. Tell me, friend, what can I do today to be where I want to be tomorrow? I could never track down the poet, identified only by the tagline Sigrid. The furthest I got was determining that the Nordic-sounding name was, ironically, an Icelandic word for defeated. The poem couldn't prepare me for what was immediately ahead. In the late 1970s, my family made an ill-fated move from our bungalow-sized home in Queens to a bigger house on Long Island. It was a place we could never quite afford. After moving in, my father lost his job, and we took to warming the house with kerosene heaters and wearing secondhand clothing. One night, I overheard my mother saying that we might qualify for food stamps. When the financial strains drove my parents to divorce, we were in danger of losing our home. Walking back from a friend's house at night, I used to wish upon stars, just like in the nursery rhyme. Since any disaster seemed possible, any solution seemed plausible. Seeking a deeper form of guidance, I expanded my adolescent reading tastes from head shop posters to Ralph Waldo Emerson and the Talmud. Each seemed to affirm that our outlook counted for something. Nerve us with incessant affirmatives, Emerson wrote. Be of good countenance, the great rabbis intoned. I clung to the hope that one's internal attitude and perspective mattered, that holding the mental ideal of a better reality could help make it so. I prayed, visualized better tomorrows, and became a determined self-improver. I threw myself into attempts to earn money, delivering newspapers, and hauling junk to a local recycling plant. I divided my time between high school in the morning and drama classes in the afternoon. I hand-wrote college applications and sent letters to financial aid officers. We managed to piece together our finances and keep our home. Positive thinking did not miraculously solve all of our problems. Decisive help, which I'll never forget, came from my mother's labor union, the 1199 hospital workers, which provided medical benefits that kept our family from disaster. But still, I emerged from the period believing that a set of interior guideposts and principles had contributed to the solution. If my thoughts didn't change reality, they helped navigate it. And maybe something more.